Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is the podcast of Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This is just one segment of today's show. You can hear all of our conversations about New York's vibrant cultural scene on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
I'm undecided about you again.
It took pianist and singer Fiona Apple 6 years to complete her new CD, Extraordinary Machine, and a copy of it leaked out on the internet earlier this year, well before she had finished the disc. I'm John Schaefer. Today on Soundcheck, Fiona Apple joins us to tell the story and talk about what she did during those 6 years, and she'll perform live for us in the studio. Later in the show, mezzo-soprano Cecilia Bartoli. 3 centuries ago, the Pope decided to ban opera, but opera composers can be sneaky. Instead of operas, they wrote oratorios and turned their leading characters from sinners into saints. Bartoli talks to us about her new record, Opera Proibita, her thrilling CD of arias from that time period. All of that coming up on Soundcheck right after the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The intensity in wind and rain is picking up along the Texas-Louisiana Gulf Coast, but Hurricane Rita has been downgraded to a Category 3 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 125 miles per hour. NPR's John Hamilton has more from the National Hurricane Center in Miami.
At its peak, Hurricane Rita was a Category 5 storm with winds of 175 miles an hour. Forecasters expect a storm surge of 15 feet along the section of coast near the border between Texas and Louisiana. They also expect up to a foot of rain and possibly tornadoes. In New Orleans, the storm should bring only 3 to 5 inches of rain, but officials there say high tides and rainfall from Hurricane Rita have already caused some flooding. John Hamilton, NPR News, Miami.
Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says federal, state, and local resources have been fully mobilized to meet the needs of evacuees from Hurricane Rita. More than 1.5 million people have been evacuated from what authorities are calling a danger zone. President Bush is headed for his home state of Texas today to review response plans. During an earlier visit to the Federal Emergency Management Agency in Washington, President Bush responded to a reporter's question about whether his presence would be disruptive to hurricane emergency efforts.
Sir, what good can you do going down to the hurricane zone? Might you get in the way, Mr. President?
One thing I won't do is get in the way.
But I mean, what good can you actually do? I mean, isn't there a risk of you and your entourage getting in the way?
No, there will be no risk of me getting in the way, I promise you. We're going to make sure that we're not in the way of the operations. What I am going to do is observe the relationship between the state and local government.
President Bush had been criticized for a delayed government response to Hurricane Katrina when that storm struck the Gulf Coast more than 3 weeks ago. A bus with elderly and disabled Hurricane Rita evacuees on board caught fire and exploded this morning just south of Dallas. An estimated 24 people are dead, but nearly as many survived. Bill Zeebel of member station KERA in Dallas has more.
The burned bus skeleton, whose explosions were apparently fueled by patients' oxygen tanks on board, was blocking traffic from South Dallas down to Houston, 250 miles away. So Homeland Security officials ordered it removed to an area a few miles away with charred corpses still inside. Dallas sheriffs and medical personnel are now carefully dealing with the wreckage and what they call the lost souls. Sheriff Don Peretz says 9 survivors are in Dallas's Parkland Hospital burn unit suffering from smoke inhalation. About 11 others survived as well. The NTSB has been called in to investigate. For NPR News, I'm Bill Zeebel in Dallas.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up nearly 26 points at 10,447. The Nasdaq is up about 9 points at 2120. This is NPR News.
And this is 93.9 and AM 820 WNYC online at WNYC.org, New York Public Radio at 204, 84 degrees, partly sunny now in Central Park. Good afternoon. I'm Emily Hoffman. The fate of the Fulton Fish Market's move to the Bronx is being discussed in a hearing at this hour. The move was supposed to happen this weekend, but a lawsuit in state Supreme Court is seeking to bar wholesalers from unloading the fish. The company that currently is responsible for unloading at the Lower Manhattan Market is alleging that wholesalers have longstanding ties to organized crime. The city investigated and says it found nothing troubling. A state Supreme Court judge had issued a temporary restraining order barring the wholesalers from unloading the seafood themselves. Today, the judge could extend the restraining order, lift it, or rule on the merits of the lawsuit. The move to the Hunts Point section of the Bronx has already been delayed several times. Time Incorporated, which publishes magazines such as People and Sports Illustrated, in addition to Time Magazine, has received a subpoena in a widening probe into circulation by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York. A Time spokeswoman declined to give further details on the subpoena and said she was rather unaware whether other publishers had also received subpoenas. Democratic mayoral candidate Fernando Ferrer received an endorsement from former Mayor David Dinkins at City Hall today. Dinkins applauded the former Bronx Borough president for his record of hard work and what he has done for the city. He said, "I am not here to criticize the incumbent," and called Mayor Bloomberg a friend. And the weather for today, mostly cloudy, still a chance of showers. Highs around 85, right now 84, and mostly sunny in Central Park.
Support for NPR comes from the members of the National Association of Realtors, working on behalf of America's residential and commercial property owners, on the web at Realtor.com.
Please, 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 no more melodies. They lock and pack their petty. I'm so tired of crying. You'd think I was a siren, but me and everybody's on the sad same team, man.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and live online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. Grammy-winning singer Fiona Apple is used to getting attention. When she was barely in her 20s, she released her debut album, Tidal, that received widespread praise from critics for its moody, evocative songs. Her follow-up recording, usually referred to as When the Pawn, sported a 90-word title. Her latest CD is called Extraordinary Machine, and it, too, is making waves. Earlier this year, 11 apparently unfinished tracks from the CD were leaked onto the internet, but the real thing comes out on October 4th, and Fiona Apple joins us in the studio to perform some of it today, along with bassist and producer Mike Elizondo. And to both of you, Fiona, Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Fiona, it's been almost 6 years since your last record.
Yep.
A lot of water under the bridge. Now, one of the impressive things about your opening salvos was, you know, you were so young, and yet you were already tackling really kind of complex issues, relationships, things like that in your songs. What's changed? What's developed over the 6 years that you've been working on this record, if anything?
I really don't know if I'm probably like the exact wrong person to ask that, because it's part of me, so I don't think I have a good perspective on it. I know that a lot has changed over the past 6 years. There's a big difference between being 22 and being 28.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I have a sense of what I'm doing, but I don't like sit around and think about what I'm doing now in relation to what I've always done. And you know, after the things that I've finished, I hardly ever hear again, you know, I hardly ever touch it again after I'm back from the road from an album. I'm on my way away from it, you know, so I can't even remember what to compare it to. It's, you know.
Well, with a 6 year hiatus there, I mean, were you working the whole time, or so you took some time off?
Yeah, I've over this past couple of weeks doing press, I've been asked over and over again like what I've been doing for the past 6 years, and at the beginning of the interviews, I was trying to like scrape up some things that I'd done. Like I read some plays for a while, and I moved into a house, and I give up. The absolute truth of it is that I really pretty much didn't do anything of consequence, you know, except for the times that I was writing stuff. I just lived a kind of lazy life.
Okay, good enough. Now, the new album is called Extraordinary Machine, and it's generated a lot of buzz, not only because it's your first album in 6 years, but because, well, earlier this year on this program, we spoke to this guy, Dave Moscato. You must know him, the guy who did the FreeFiona.com
website. Oh, is that his name? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know his name. I have a thank you in my liner notes of my album to Free Fiona, and I've been talking a lot about them lately because I really think that they deserve a lot of credit for me actually being able to go and do the album the way that I wanted to do it in the end, and I'm really happy to be able to speak up about it now and thank them. Although I have never, I didn't know about them for a very, very long time. And I still haven't visited the website because it's just, I mean, it makes me feel a little bit weird to do stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, basically what he told us was that, you know, I mean, obviously some of these tracks got released or leaked to this DJ in Seattle who played them on the radio. And I guess Dave and the folks who helped form this website were basically really interested in getting the album out at a time when the initial producer, John Bryan, was sort of intimating that the record company was not into it.
I assume that whoever did it, whoever leaked it, was trying to do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really be angry about it. But at the time it happened, I thought it was really going to screw me up in terms of being able to go back. Because I wanted to redo some of the songs. I wasn't done yet. I had a whole other reason for not wanting to release that album as it was. Sony didn't think it had a hit. I don't know what they intended to do. They never officially said that it was shelved because I said that I wanted to do more. That's when Mike came into it and we started to do some work. Mike made some tracks from scratch and it got me really excited that I was, you know, I was kind of directionless through the whole process with John. And nothing was his fault. I just kind of wasn't there to captain the ship because of whatever was going on in my head. I didn't have a lot of time to live with the songs. And I wasn't going to be satisfied until I tried to do some of the songs again. And when Mike came in with these tracks, I got really excited and I felt like I woke up and I could actually be the captain of the ship again and know how I felt about stuff. Mike and I started to work. This is important. I'm sorry. Blabbing, but this on the subject of the Free Fiona stuff because I felt guilty for a long time that they didn't know the real story. But Mike and I had a budget put together. We're a small budget. We were going to do all these songs, and I've been told it was miscommunication. But what I was told at that time was that in order to redo the songs, I would have to do one at a time and then hand them in to Sony, and then they would listen to it and then maybe give me the money for the next one.
So it's like on approval, so to speak.
Right. And I really, there was about a month or a month and a half there where it was like, oh, well, can we do two at a time? Can we do three at a time? And back and forth, and are we going to do this? And then it was not acceptable to me. And I just went, wait, no, I can't do it if I can't do it all. Because it implies that if I hand something over to them, that if I hand something over, that means that I'm happy with it. And if I'm going to hand something over to them, so they can tell me whether or not I can do the next one, that implies that they're going to be able to have a say in what the song is. If they say they don't like it, then they're either going to shelve it and then they own a master of something that I truly love, or they're going to try to tell me how to change it in order to make it something that they love, and that's also unacceptable. So what happened in actuality was I called up my manager and said I'm not going to record anymore because I didn't want to do it that way. And then a lot of time went by. I was doing a preemptive strike. I felt that I had no choice. And so I felt guilty that the Free Fiona people were doing all this thinking that I was, you know, scrambling to get that album released, but I really couldn't say anything at the time because I didn't want to screw up my chances of being able to do it the way I wanted to do it.
So, but in the end, do you think this will all turn out to have been a great benefit because now you have finished the album?
They may not have served the purpose that they initially set out to serve, but they served the right one without knowing it. And so now they know it, I hope, and I hope that they, you know, will forgive me for not speaking about this sooner.
Well, it's interesting in all this talk about, you know, production and different producers and what the ultimate sound is. This all begins, Fiona, with you at the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're about to hear with you at the piano and Mike here playing the bass, I guess this is kind of the way you first hear these songs, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so the first one you're going to play for us in the studio today, this is Oh Sailor.
Oh Sailor.
So, all right, let's hear a live performance.
Okay.
Fiona Apple is making her way to our piano, and Mike Elizondo picking up the big old double bass for this live performance of a song called Oh Sailor. It appears on the new Fiona Apple CD, which is called Extraordinary Machine, and which comes out on October 4th. And it's a new record on the Sony Epic label. Fiona Apple and Mike Elizondo, my guests on Soundcheck.
I'm undecided about you again. Be right that you're not here. It's double-sided, 'cause I ruined it all, but also saved myself by never believing you, dear. Everything good I deem too good to be true. Everything else is just a bore. Do that for
That is Fiona Apple live in our WNYC studio on Soundcheck, and the song "Oh Sailor." It's the single from the new record "Extraordinary Machine." Fiona Apple performing live in the studio with bassist and producer Mike Elizondo, and they are my guests on Soundcheck here at 93.9 WNYC and online at wnyc.org. Well, now, Mike, you've worked with Dr. Dre and Eminem and lots of top shelf names in the industry. When you came to working with Fiona, it's obviously, a different sound world, but what did you end up doing? Some of the tracks to me sound fairly close to the first version that John Bryan had done, and then others sound considerably different. So how did you do that? How'd you work that out?
I just tried to, when I was given the CD, I listened to maybe a few times to learn the songs, and I kind of wrote them out. I wrote the chord changes out. I had lyrics, and I made sure I knew the melody, and I would just play these songs over and over and kind of hear Fiona singing in my head. I didn't have the files or the recordings of anything that was done previous. I kind of wanted to just have a CD, and so just playing through these and looking at the lyrics, I just tried to imagine something that I thought would support what Fiona had written. And that was my only criteria, was to just kind of take her lead, the chord progressions, the rhythms of her piano parts. A lot of the beats, if you listen, they're very derivative of what Fiona plays between her left and her right hands.
Yeah, and the chord progressions. Yeah. I mean, that, "Oh Sailor," that's not your typical hit single chord progression. It's very chromatic.
Yeah, I remember the first time I had played Fiona the couple of things that I had done. I thanked her for providing such amazing chord progressions, and she was kind of like, "Well, they're not really that amazing to me," So, to her, this is what she hears, and fortunately for us, we get to experience it.
Yeah.
But I reacted to what she had already laid out on the piano and through her melodies and lyrics.
Fiona, what did you grow up listening? I mean, I know your sister sings cabaret, American songbook standards and stuff. Is that what was in the house when you guys were growing up?
Pretty much, yeah. There was a lot of stuff. My mom had a lot of that stuff, and that's how we got introduced to that stuff. My grandfather was in the Harry James Band. He was Johnny McAfee. He was a vocalist, and he played sax, and what else did he play? Trumpet, I think.
Wow.
And flute. And so we grew up with that kind of music there. And then my mother was also, she married a guy who was 24 when she met him. He was 16 years younger than her. And so he made me a Beatles fan. He listened to a lot of, music from his era. So we had a mix of the two growing up.
So
not very much, not a lot of contemporary music for me.
Well, I should mention your sister's name, Maud Maggart. She performs at the Oak Room uptown at the Algonquin.
Yeah, she's doing that. Yeah, I just saw her last night.
Yeah. You guys ever get a chance to collaborate?
No, not officially, we've talked about sometime doing like a little show together where we sing songs together if we can figure out times to do, the two of us singing, because our voices go really well together. And I just went to see her show in California again, and she's like, she's really good. She's really, really good. I love her a lot.
Does she have the same kind of dusky, jazzy voice that you have?
No, we have very different voices. Her voice is a lot higher, but it's a different type of voice. It's different. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not.
Okay, Fiona Apple is my guest, and producer and bass player Mike Elizondo. The new album is called "Extraordinary Machine." What does the title refer to?
Me.
Yeah. Okay. Now, is it a concept album?
I knew I was going to make Mike laugh. Sorry.
So is there a theme, a big idea behind the record?
No. I mean, for me, the only thing that makes the songs connect to each other is the fact that they were put on the same CD. It's always, if I could just like go through life and make a song and then put it out, just put out singles, that would be really cool. I don't really see the need to. It's kind of always been ridiculous to me to have an album. That's why my titles of my album have been kind of you know, for my own amusement.
Okay. Now, your previous release, When the Pawn, it was like 90 words. Go ahead. Can you say it?
Yes, I can.
I don't believe it.
You really want me to? That's, you really want me to?
I want to hear you say the title that you expected the rest of us to be able to say.
I didn't expect anybody to be able to say it. When the pawn hits the conflicts, he thinks like a king. What he knows throws the blows when he goes to the fight. And he'll win the whole thing before he enters the ring. There's no body to batter when your mind is your might. So when you go solo, you hold your own hand. And remember that depth is the greatest of heights. And if you know where you stand, then you'll know where to land. And if you fall, it won't matter because you'll know that you're right.
Very good. All right. The title.
I should have
of...
made you give me money for that.
I was going to say.
When the Pawn.
Is... When the Pawn. Yeah.
So the cover art on the new record, is that your picture?
That's my picture that I took in my backyard like a couple years ago. And I remember thinking that I was like, that could be the cover of my CD if I make one. And then I forgot about it, and then time came to think about the cover art, and people were saying, well, we guess we got to do some photo shoots. And I was just about to have to go in to do some photo shoots to do the cover art, and I hate photo shoots. And then I remembered about that picture, and I went, wait a second.
I got it. So
it's like
buds of a flower, but it's so close up, it becomes a complete abstraction, really.
Yeah, I like it because it's something that I consider to be an extraordinary machine. There are lots of things that I consider extraordinary machines that are organic things. And that one, I also like how the little buds look like little fists. And on the flip side of the little booklet is the purple flower that's sprouts out. That's the same flower just when it's out.
Ah.
So I don't know what that thing is called, though. I should.
Don't look at me. It's your garden. All right. You have another song. This one you're just going to do by yourself, right?
Yes, Lord help me.
Okay. Parting Gift?
Parting Gift.
All right. Fiona Apple is my guest, making her way back to the piano. And another live performance here on Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org.
I opened my eyes while you were kissing me once, more than once, and you looked as sincere as a dog. Just as sincere as a dog does when it's the food on your lips with which it's in love. I bet you could never tell that I knew you didn't know me that well. It is my fault, you see, you never learned that much from me. Oh, you silly, stupid pastime of mine. You were always good for a rhyme. And from the first to the last time, the sign said stop. But we went on wholehearted, it ended bad. But I love where we started, it said stop. But we went on wholehearted, it ended bad. But I love where we started. I took off my glasses while you were yelling at me once, more than once, so as not to see you. Should've put them on again, so I could see you see me sincerely yelling back. I bet your fortress face belied your fort of lace. It is by the grace of me you never learned what I could see. Oh, you silly, stupid pastime of mine. You were.
That is some fine singing and really fine songwriting from Fiona Apple. Live performance of her song Parting Gift here in our Soundcheck studio. It is on Fiona's new record called Extraordinary Machine. Producer Mike Elizondo, what do you do with that? that isn't gilding the lily.
Yeah, I know. You know, there's actually a pretty cool story that goes with that as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, late one night that we were working, Fiona, occasionally she'll say, oh, I have this idea, let me just put this down. And so this one particular night, she said, I just want to put this down. So we kind of unsuspectingly were just hanging out in the studio, not knowing what we were about to hear. And she proceeded to play Parting Gift in its entirety from top to bottom. I mean, you know, unbelievable performance. And that's the performance that you hear on the record.
Ah.
Undoctored, nothing, you know, it was...
So you did not gild the lily.
Nothing.
Then.
It was right. Nothing.
And I didn't have to work. I had to play it once. I was so happy.
Yes, yeah.
All right, well, Extraordinary Machine, the first version was around on the internet. It's become sort of, Fiona, your own version of the basement tapes. It's, you know, kind of a document of an intermediate stage. Now we have the finished product, which is due out on October 4th, and it sounds great.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations to both of you, Fiona Apple and Mike Elizondo, and thanks for joining us today on Soundcheck.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Having us.
If you don't have a date, celebrate. Go out and sit on the lawn and do nothing. 'Cause it's just what you must do and nobody does it anymore.
If you have a comment or question about anything you hear on our program, we're happy to hear from you. You can email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org. Thanks for listening to today's podcast of Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. This was just one of the show's segments. You can hear everything we do on demand at WNYC.org. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.